Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
All right, so, Hoodie, let me ask you this question. We'll talk to Chuck at 9:15 and get his perspective on this. Let me ask you, which lineup, I mean, both have not been scoring as of late. Which lineup do you feel has more potential to do damage in the postseason, Cubs or White Sox?
The White Sox, and there is no question about it, is the White Sox because they have that penchant to be able to hit the home run ball anytime. You look at that lineup from top to bottom, whether it is Anderson, Abreu, Aloy, whether it's Encarnacion, who's not hitting the ball well as far as that 174 average, but can give you power. Robert is going through a slump right now, but you know that if he gets the fastball he wants, he can get it done. So I say because they have that home run power in the lineup, I'm taking the Sox 9 times out of 10.
Okay, so ESPN broke it all down. They used analytics and a whole bunch of other ways of quantifying this. Mm-hmm. The National League, the number one lineup, no surprise, is the best team, the Dodgers. The number two lineup, I thought, would be San Diego. The number two lineup is the Chicago Cubs. That surprised me. Here's what they write. If Chris Bryant's 2020 season is a true reading of what he is right now, the Cubs won't miss him if he has to sit out because of his ailing oblique. However, would any Cubs fan want their club to enter into another playoff run without him? That's why we try to keep baseline talent in mind as we do these rankings. The dynamic wreaks havoc when comparing a Cubs right now forecast with their 2020 results. Bryant hitting 195, Anthony Rizzo 213, Javier Baez 206, and have missed their projected numbers badly. Jason Hayward 912 OPS, Ian Happ 896, have raced past theirs. Will it all even out to justify the Cubs' number two ranking here? Stay tuned. Now you go to the Padres, then the Braves are fourth, and fifth is the Reds. Now, go to the American League. Who's number one?
Who is number one? Is the White Sox number one? They should be.
That would be the Houston Astros.
All right.
Number two, the New York Yankees. Mm-hmm. Number three, the Minnesota Twins. Number four, the Oakland Athletics. Number five, the Chicago White Sox. And here's what they write. The White Sox have been so much fun to watch that it's easy to forget most of their players are far from finished products. Still, no team in the AL field flashes a better combination of power, speed, and contact than the White Sox. They hit the ball hard, and even when it doesn't clear the fence, they can beat you on the base pass. Yet there are issues. Yoan Moncada has returned to his pre-2019 form when he had trouble making contact in key spots, even when just about any kind of contact will do. Luis Robert has become one of the game's most exciting players, and he's a dangerous man at the plate, on the bases, and in the field. Yet he swings at everything, and that issue has sapped his momentum during the stretch run. Veteran Edwin Encarnacion still has the occasional clout in him, but has offered little else of value. All of this means a potent White Sox lineup that you see on the field does not necessarily look like a sure thing on paper. But once Abreu, excuse me.
That's a fine.
Thank you. Anderson, Jimenez, and company hit the airwaves next week, you won't be able to take your eyes off them. They have the potential to bust out against any team, even as their collective aggression leaves them more vulnerable than most to elite pitching.
Okay, let's start with the Cubs. So either these writers are not watching the Cubs, or they're looking at past reputation.
Yes, that's what it is.
Well, on paper, who wouldn't want to have Ian Happ, who started off really well? He's cooled down a little bit, but still, you trust him at the top of the lineup.
Yeah, he's cooled down a lot.
Yeah, so, but a healthy Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, Jay Hay, who wouldn't want to have those guys? That's past reputation. The baseball has been waiting for the Cubs to come even close to that 2016 team as far as the magic offensively. So when they put the Cubs that high, they look at the lineup and say, well, of course they're one of the top teams in the National League. Well, no, they're not. And they have not been since 2017. They've been cooled off, and don't let the wins fool you. Don't let the success as far as regular season fool you. Offensively, they have been lackluster. Now for the White Sox, okay, you want to put the Twins over the White Sox in that category? Okay, fine. I told you myself in July that this team is a year early. But what's carried them to the playoffs is not only the expanded playoff matchups that we're going to see here, but also the offense. And some good pitching with Keuchel and Giolito has helped. But again, my focus is 2021 because after next year, Cap, and moving forward, this team should seriously contend. But right now, they're going through growing pains.
So this team, I said to you, when it's 97 degrees in Chicago, that park guaranteed rate plays like a really small park. And with that kind of power that they have, you can bludgeon people. And they did that. Now you get into October baseball and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, we're playing at night. And it's 47 degrees. Not as easy to get the ball out of the ballpark.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And so, but those other teams that you just mentioned, you threw Oakland in there, the Twins are in there, Houston. Okay, you got some battle-tested teams in there that have been in the playoffs, been there and done that. It's different for the White Sox because the Sox have not been there in a while. What we're seeing here is something new as far as the amount of home runs that are being hit and the timely hitting, especially with two outs and late in innings starting in the seventh. So it is fresh. So where the Sox are right now is fine. Now it's about a prove it. It's a prove it year. And then moving forward, you expect this team to seriously contend.
They have to go out and add more depth of veteran starting pitching for me. Like, okay, I'm going to hand the ball to Giolito and I will ride or die with him. Mm-hmm. I'll hand the ball to Keuchel and ride or die with him. Dane Dunning, as Stoney has eloquently pointed out with Jason on the broadcast, Dane is a pitcher. He is not a guy, though, with amazing strikeout stuff like Dylan Cease has. Cease, though, nibbles too much and doesn't have the pitching moxie that Dane Dunning has. I would like to see them in the offseason add like a Trevor Bauer. They're going to have the payroll flexibility. So if there is a robust market for the Sox to go add somebody, that's what I would add. Somebody that, whoa, I now have three aces and let the two kids come along.
Hey, Cap, the money for another starter for the Sox went to Billy Donovan.
Yeah, exactly.
Could you imagine if you're Rick Hahn's like, Jerry, I'd like to add more pitching. What do you think Jerry's going to say?
I think Rick has a budget, and as long as he lives within, you know, that hundred and whatever million dollar budget, he's going to let him do that. So, yeah, you're going to move on from Gio Gonzalez.
Yes.
I don't know if you're going to be able to sign James McCann just because you love him. You've also committed big money to Yasmani Grandal. So is James McCann in a pandemic? Is that going to be favorable for the White Sox? They can get him at a lower number? Or there's so few really good catchers, and he's a great dude as well, and he can hit that, wow, James McCann's getting how much? Because I don't see the White Sox paying Grandal, what did he get? 4 for 73?
Yeah.
5 for 73? You're going to give McCann $15 million a year? I just don't know if that happens.
Oh, yes, he can. James McCann can.
Yes.
I can't. Well, how about this? How about if I tell you this? How about you move on from Encarnacion and then Yasmani Grandal is your everyday DH? And McCann's your everyday catcher. I'm good with that.
Okay, then what are you doing with Andrew Vaughn, who's ready to come up and hit? What are you doing with Jose Abreu, who's having a phenomenal year?
Abreu plays first.
Okay, where does Andrew Vaughn go?
Well, you know, listen, I mean, we got a lot of kids already on the team. Like you mean there's only so many positions. I'm just saying that McCann is valuable, definitely behind that play. You see you can actually see the difference, can't you, between McCann and Grandal? Grandal's not that great a catcher, great framer. But not a great catcher. But McCann seems like he's locked in with Giolito and others. I'm comfortable when McCann is behind the plate, and I do like his offense as well. I'd hate for him to go, but I understand the financial ramifications. What's more important, another starter to go along with Giolito and Keuchel, or McCann
behind
the plate?
Never have enough pitching.
I understand. But you could see the value of McCann, right?
Oh, absolutely. But again, if you are locked into Yasmani Grandal for big money, are you also going to pay another catcher big money as well. That is, you know, something I just don't know if a team can make that work.
I just don't think that Grandal's that guy for the long haul that can be able to harness a pitching staff. It's enough that Don Cooper's in there. Right?
Grandal signed a 4-year, $73 million deal. He gets $18.25 million per year. So you're telling me that, now again, with the pandemic, you may be able to get James McCann for 3 for $30, mm-hmm. but if it's like 4 for $60 on the table, you're going to have, you're telling me $33 million tied up in two catchers? I don't see it.
Well, one of them would be a DH. A DH slash first baseman in Grandal. He can, because you can see he could play a little first base Grandal and catch, but mostly it would be McCann behind there, and you just move on from Encarnacion. I'm totally fine with that. You mentioned Vaughn, yeah, he's there, but I need to go with what I know right now. If you're going forward, you've got to be able to get yourself a pitcher and solidify yourself with good offense and someone that you can trust behind the plate. I trust McCann more so than Grandal in that spot. I just want to know, when you go hat in hand to Jerry, what that looks like when you're looking for ad. He's going to say, "Oh, I gave you $200 million of payroll." I wonder, does he say, "Go for it"? I know he loves baseball even more so than his basketball team, but man, if you feel like you're close, you got to go for that extra pitcher, right?
I would always add more pitching. I always go back to the example that the Atlanta Braves set. They were down to two guys. Should we get Greg Maddux or Barry Bonds? We can't get them both. And they said, we're going to go pitching. And they knew the guy. One guy was better in the room than the other guy. That was Maddux. Oh, and by the way, he's one of the five best starting pitchers in the history of the sport. So despite having Glavin, Smoltz, Steve Avery, they said, let's add another one. And they did that, and it worked out. So, all right, Chuck Garfine is our White Sox insider. He's also a good friend of our show, and he is also my coworker over at TV, where he, Ozzie, and Big Hurt Frank Thomas are must-watch television. Chuck Garfine talks White Sox with us next.
Take that.
Take that.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Welcome back on ESPN 1000, it's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show, weekdays 7 until 10. He's Jonathan Hood, I'm David Kaplan. And that leads us, we've been talking baseball, to our guy. He is NBC Sports Chicago pre- and post-game host for the White Sox. He is our White Sox insider, and he's our friend. And he was not happy the last 3 days, but it was must-watch television. He's Chuck Garfine. Our Chuck, what's up, kid?
Not much. I am harking back to the long ago days of Saturday night, Sunday morning, when the White Sox had a 3-game lead in the American League Central, and life was good.
Yep, now, life a little different now.
Second place.
Yeah, I was this years old to remember those days, Chuck. I remember that just like it was yesterday.
Yes.
So, Chuck, listen.
They are grinding it out. It is when an offense is not scoring runs, the team looks lethargic. It's frustrating. You invest yourself emotionally for 3+ hours, and these have been tense, tight, one-run ball games. And you know, so I understand why White Sox fans are just so, you know, upset and frustrated. I get it, but they were rolling for like, you know, a month and a half, and now this has happened. And, you know, you hope that adversity can sometimes, you know, negatives can bring a positive, and that's what you're hoping for. But right now, when you're in the muck, it feels like crap.
So when you're watching that game last night, Stoney says on the broadcast, and Hoodie and I were just talking about it, I don't know about facing Luplo with a lefty here. And Ricky did say after the game, I was only going to use column A if it was a save situation. There was no other right-hander they could have used, Chuck?
No, you never know. I shouldn't say never, but you don't really always know the whole situation in the bullpen, who is really available and who isn't. He did have, now he didn't have a lot of options. Aaron Bummer's hurt. Evan Marshall's hurt. If one of those two guys is healthy and available, the Sox get out of that inning. There was Steve Cishek, who, if this was June before the season started, I'd be like, oh, they got Steve Cishek. He's amazing. He's incredible. And I shouldn't say incredible, but he can do the job. Well, he hasn't done the job, but he has a lot more experience in the ninth inning in his career than Gio Gonzalez. And his stuff, I'd like to think, is, you know, it's crafty. It's, you know, I think he'd have a better matchup with Jordan Luplow just on paper. Instead, he went with Gio Gonzalez. And it's the bottom of the order. It is arguably the weakest bottom of the order in baseball. So Ricky Renteria had a decision to make. His decision was, you know, I'd like to think, this is him thinking, and I'd like to think that if you're in the major leagues, you should be able to get through the bottom three of the order of the Indians in that ball game, and Gio Gonzalez didn't. And I'm sitting there with Ozzie Guillen on the post-game show waiting for the game to end. We're sitting on the couches there, and it's a 3-0 count, and he says to me, Luplow's going to get the green light here. I'm like, what? They're going to give Jordan Luplow, who's got like one home run, he's batting under 200, they're going to give him the green light? And he goes, watch, they'll give him the green light. 2 seconds later, home run, game over. So Ozzie's a mad baseball scientist sometimes, mad genius, and he saw it coming, and that's what happened.
That just is so disappointing, Chuck. Just, you know, just from my side of the show here, just because you go in knowing it's going to be a premier pitching matchup with Bieber and Giolito, and they did their job. That was great. And I loved how the Sox approached that. I mean, 98 pitches for Bieber, so they got him out of there after five, and I think we'll get into that bullpen. It still wasn't good. What seems to frustrate you most about the offense not clicking? Is it the lack of walks, the quality at bats? What stands out most about the Sox approach over the last four games?
You know, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. The worst thing about this is just the timing. It's the timing. If this was 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, last week, you'd be like, wow, they're struggling, but you know they'll turn it around. No, the playoffs are next week, and that's why this is, you know, magnified. And, you know, there aren't a lot of guys hitting right now. I mean, I think what happened was, I mean, you could say they peaked too early. They were rolling for like a month, and everybody was hitting. Now, a lot of their offense was being against, you know, the Tigers and against the Royals and the Pirates. But last week, they looked really good. They took three or four out of it from the Twins. Also last week, the Indians had ended their own eight-game losing streak. This is a season that has ebbs and flows, ups and downs, and the Sox right now are in a down. Baseball is funny. They could go out and, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I mean, here's the thing that concerns me. They got Plesac today, and I think it's going to be Yu Darvish on Friday. So they may not get out of this funk, you know, until the weekend. But they can get out of it. But if you, you know, they got Luis Robert, who is just, he is so in between right now. And, you know, I think he's probably going to have a day off today. Moncada, I mean, even though he got a triple yesterday, he's not hitting. You just need a couple more guys to be hitting. And if that happens with this offense, they're going to get out of it, and they're going to start winning games. And the reason why I thought, and I still feel that they'll be able to not have long losing streaks, is because they have so many good hitters on this team. But right now, as we sit here, it's a bad matchup because you've got too many guys not hitting, and you're facing a tough, the toughest pitching staff in the American League. That is not a good recipe for success. So they expect another tight ball game here today. You're going to be probably stressed out watching it, but it might be, you know, it should be an entertaining game. And it may come down to the late innings, again, just on paper, because it's Plesac, it's Keuchel, the Indians don't have a great offense, and the White Sox offense is struggling. So, but it all it takes is, like, I really feel like if Moncada hits a home run or something happens early in the game, that might just lessen some of the stress and the pressure that these guys are feeling. They've never gone through adversity like this before. I think in the long run, it'll be good. But while it's happening, it's uncomfortable and it sucks.
I know that the Big Hurt has been yelling to move Luis Robert up in the order. I got other people tweeting at me, bench him. He looks awful right now. Where are you on Luis Robert? I know he's going to be a great player, but when?
You know, when you say benching, like, for one day, that's good.
No. I'm talking about fans saying they would rather have Engel in the lineup. They would rather not have him in there right now because he looks bad.
All right, so those fans, you are welcome to your opinion. It's a free country. Believe that if you want. That's stupid.
Hey, it's not me. I'm just reading you what the quotes say, what the tweets say.
He's not talking about you, Cap. He heard what you said.
I just don't want to be accused.
Okay, so Luis Robert needs to struggle. Luis Robert needs to learn how to be a major league hitter. And you benching him and having him rot on the bench for Adam Engel is not the answer, okay? Now, Adam Engel is better this year. Part of the reason why he's better is because the White Sox are, you know, almost systematically putting him in the best situations for him to succeed. And that's why his numbers are, I don't want to say inflated, but they're better than what they might be if he was playing every single day. He has improved a lot, though. Don't get me wrong. And I have called for times to play more of Adam Engel. But, you know, he faced a righty yesterday, and, you know, he didn't do too well. He was great the night before. Luis Robert just, he needs to figure this out. And I was talking with A.J. Pruszynski just a short time ago, and A.J. said, like, one thing that he would do is, like, you have a plan. Like, that day, just sell out for a plan. Say, hey, you know, today, we think so much about, like, got to get a hit. No. How about just try to hit the ball to the right side? That is all you want to do on this at-bat, hit the ball to the right side. And maybe it'll squeak through for a hit. That'll get you a hit, but you take the baby steps. But Luis Robert doesn't, you know, I don't think Luis Robert has struggled like this his entire baseball career, and it's happening right now. He doesn't know how to get out of it. He's never done it before. So he's got to find a way to do it. Rotting him on the bench for Adam Engel for weeks or days is not going to solve the problem.
So, Chuck, here's Dallas Keuchel on the mound for the Sox tonight against the Indians. This will be the first time he's taken on the Indians this season, I believe. So what is your letter grade for Keuchel as a White Sox so far?
A. Easy A. The only thing that stinks is that, you know, he had the back tightness, and that, you know, prevented him from going deeper in, I would say, actually the last two games. I mean, the last game he had against the Reds, he said he battled through it. He didn't have his good stuff, and yet I think he gave up a run against the Reds in that ballpark, and he did not feel that great. He has one of the lowest ERAs in baseball, and, you know, this is the guy you want on the mound right now. Now, I wish he could swing a bat, too, help out the offense, but, you know, he's been everything you'd want from Dallas Keuchel in this season. And, you know, he's the guy that's going to send a message. I really feel like he'll pitch good here tonight. It is baseball. You can't, you know, say 100% is going to happen. But, you know, I don't know when it's going to happen, but the Sox are going to break out of this. And this terrible feeling Sox fans are having right now will go away. But listen, terrible feeling, if I would have told you 2 months ago that the White Sox are going to go to the playoffs, every single Sox fan would sign up for that, every one of you. And if you didn't, you'd be the guy that wants Adam Engel to start over Luis Robert for the rest of the season.
No, you want someone to round the bench. That's what Mazar is there for.
Yeah, Mazar. I mean, I'm out of words for Mazar. He's become.
Why don't you do another emergency podcast on him?
All right.
Yeah, that comes up every week. Yeah.
Take that. All right, Chuck, we got to roll. I'll see you at work later today. I hope you're in a better mood, okay?
I'm in a good mood. Sunshine, Sox are going to the playoffs. That's not bad.
We saw you on TV yesterday. You're not in a good mood.
We could see your face.
You were not happy.
No, 2 days ago I was livid over Angel Hernandez. That's different.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's what you saw. Yesterday I was like, you know what? They lost. That sucked. Jordan Luplo just hit a 3-0 home run. Two nights ago, Angel Hernandez, Jose Ramirez, yeah, I was livid.
Jose Ramirez is a great player, but Angel Hernandez, not so much. Have a great day, kid. We'll see you at work.
All right. All right, see you guys.
There he is, the great Archuk Garfine. He is our White Sox insider.
Hey, Cap, I mean, not so bad for the White Sox today against Plesac, right? I mean, Plesac's got a zero ERA and two starts against the Sox, 18 strikeouts and 14 innings. Not too bad, right?
That guy can really throw. Maybe he can go eat lunch with somebody before the game, get in trouble, and they bench him. Fans may be allowed at the World Series. That's right. So if your Sox or your Cubs are there and you could get tickets, would you go? 312-332-3776. We discuss that topic next.
Take that.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
All right, rock and roll. Home stretch of the show. Carmen, you're in for Crosstalk at 10 o'clock. You got Greeny at noon. Waddle. And Sylvie at 2 o'clock. And the little guys from Libertyville, Black
geez.
And Abdallah, they'll be in at 6 for the baseball show. And then their fine program at 7.
Okay. There's no reason for that. Okay.
Their fine show. I praise them.
All right. That's just unnecessary. All right.
You know what? You're better than that.
No. That's the point. You're better than that. Don't do that. Hold on.
We don't have turds on this team. We don't have turds on this team.
So take that and think about that for a little bit.
All right. There you go, guys. There you go.
There you go. Anyway, Hoodie, if I said to you, Jonathan, yep. I've got a ticket for you and a ticket for Peacock, and you can go to the World Series. It's in Texas, and you can go to the games. You going to go?
No shot. You know, all of this is tempting fate, right? Mm-hmm. All of it is tempting fate. When it comes to COVID-19,
yep.
All of it's tempting fate.
Yep.
Now, when we started talking about this with college football, you know, in college football in particular, it means even more in the South, in the Mid-Atlantic area.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were trying to find a way. Well, we got to have football. You've got Ed Orgeron talking about, well, you know, we're going to play no matter what, and then come to find out that the majority of their team has COVID, but they're going to try to do it anyway. As you can see throughout this country, there are certain sections of this country that are saying, you know what? COVID-19 is out there, and yes, reportedly 200,000 people have died, but you know what? I need my football. I need my baseball. I need to be able to have my sports because I got to have some normalcy. Well, you got to understand that you cannot add normalcy to an abnormal situation. What we're going through in 2020 on a lot of levels is abnormal and unfortunate. And so here we are with baseball. Yes, just because it's in Texas doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have 20,000 people in the stadium. But again, it's about tempting fate. People are not used to something that's a little bit different. They don't want to go through it. They'd rather be able to go through the pandemic, living their life like it's, you know, like it's 2019, when realizing that coronavirus is serious. So even though if it was my White Sox, if they were in the playoffs or in the World Series, I can't travel down into Texas because I don't know if these other clowns care about COVID as much as I do.
Danny, I'm going to give you tickets. You can take Avery, your oldest. I got a seat for you on a private plane. I'm getting you guys down to Texas. You taking them to the game?
No shot. I appreciate the tickets. I appreciate the private plane, which is something I've never been on and I'd love to go on.
Oh.
I'm just not up for taking the risk, man. I still freak out. I go to the grocery store for the family. I still freak out when I get out of the grocery store. Like, I feel like I've got to use hand sanitizer and wipes before I can take my mask off and start my car. The last thing I'm doing is sitting in a stadium full of people. And even though they're going to socially distance and give us space, I'm still going to touch things or use bathrooms or walk behind people or be closer to people that I don't know that I want to be. Pass.
JR, you going?
I got a pass. I mean, if it was here, I might be a little more tempted because you feel like with a home game, you're more familiar on that kind of stuff. But yeah, the travel and the foreign environment and not being able to share it with everybody, pass.
Yeah, I mean, I can't go to my local bar, let alone go down there to go see a baseball game or go see a baseball series.
But it's your White Sox in the World Series.
Sorry. I'll watch on the big screen, pal. At least I know I'm safe here in my own basement. Seriously. I mean, that's how I look at it. But it's so unfortunate, though, Cap, that
that's known
we're
as
going
the hood
through
cave,
all this.
By the way.
Yes, absolutely. It's so unfortunate that you can't be able to be there to see your favorite team. But, hell, I love concerts like you go love concerts. We can't even go there. So this is where we are today. So we have to adjust. Are you going?
I am not.
Would
I
you go?
No. I would not. I would not.
But see, but again, we've seen some of these football games, like at Jerry World, right? 100,000 seats, and they had, what do they have in there, 15, 17,000 for their Cowboys home opener?
Correct.
And, yeah, they're socially distanced, sure. Same thing in Kansas City. You thought at the opener, okay, maybe we're going to get, maybe the curve is going down. They're in Kansas City. It's the home opener. It's the champs. And come to find out there are people that had COVID there, and the people there had to be tested. I mean, that's just a pain in the ass. Why even go through that?
I completely agree. I would not go. Let's go get Mike's call because I think he has a different perspective. Mike's in Oak Lawn. Hey, Mike, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, guys. If I could go to Walmart, Home Depot, I could go to a game. If I could watch hundreds of kids play lacrosse in the middle of the field, but my kid can't play football this year, I could go to a game. If hundreds and thousands of people could riot and protest around the country, I can go to a game. It's getting ridiculous. We need to stop living in fear of all this stuff and go back to enjoying life. Go to the game. Open the games up and let people go. If you don't want to go, don't go. Make that decision for yourself. But allow us to make a decision for ourselves as well. Wear your mask, wear gloves, whatever you have to do, or don't wear anything at all. Make a decision for yourself. Don't allow other people to make decisions for you.
And ultimately,
thanks, Mike.
And ultimately, that's where we are, Cap. The era of selfishness. There it is. Making the decision for yourself. So if you're walking down the street and you're not wearing a mask, you don't care about my life, and even though I care about yours. And again, we're just going by those that have studied the science.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. If Mike, and he's already gone, but if Mike said to you, hold on a second, Jonathan, I wear a mask when I walk down the street. I will wear a mask at a game if that's what the rules are, but I'm willing to take that risk. Do you still have a problem with that?
If he wants to, that's fine. But here's the thing. He wants it his way instead of the way to make sure that the curve goes down, to make sure that we're all safe. You can see the difference, can you not?
I can. Look, I wouldn't go. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't feel comfortable. I wouldn't eat inside at a restaurant right now. Outdoors, I've done it a couple of times. As long as I know that we're socially distanced, I'm willing to do that to keep living life. But I'm not sitting in some crowded movie theater, restaurant. And I enjoy the games on my couch better anyway. So right. I'm good with it.
You know, he mentions that if I can go to Walmart and go to a game, who says that it's a good idea for you to be going to Walmart or Home Depot? Who says that's a good idea during this pandemic? I would say that it's a good idea if you are masked and that you're safe. Because, I don't want this for anybody. I don't want anyone to have to go through coronavirus at all. So for those that say, well, I could do these things, why can't I go to a game? Well, what about those that are taking the tickets or those that are ushers or those that work in concessions, then they want to be safe? What about them? Or do you not care about them? Clearly that you don't. Clearly that a lot of people don't. I understand the frustration. You hear that last caller, Mike? You know why he's frustrated? Because it's not 2019. Because it's not how life was just a few months ago. But the thing is that just like everything else, we'll get through it. There's no doubt about that. But the idea that, well, I want to go to a game because I want to go to a game is because I always go to a game. So why can't I go to a game? It's because we got coronavirus. It's not about fear. It's not about, you know, taking away your freedoms. It's not about your freedoms.
So
with five S's and three Z's. It's not about your freedoms, Cap. It's about making sure that everybody's safe. Because I don't want you or our listeners or anyone else to suffer coronavirus and die from it.
So Dave Scharf, who's the head of our sales department, the GSM, the general sales manager, he said if they're playing each other, he would take the risk, he would go.
Good. Good for him.
Let's go to Jim.
But you and I would not.
No, it wouldn't matter to me if it was the Cubs and the Sox and they said I could sit in the dugout. No thanks. Jim on the south side. Hey, Jim. James?
Sorry. Yeah, I was just listening just a couple minutes ago, and Danny said he's still freaking out when he goes to grocery stores. I'm in grocery stores 5-6 days a week. I don't work for a particular store, but I work for a distributor. I'm out there every day. I feel comfortable in the stores. I wear my mask. A lot more people are doing it. There still are people every once in a while. But I'm not going to a game. No way. I'd love to go to a game. And if the Cubs are in the World Series, I'd love to be able to have that opportunity, but I'm not going in.
Yep. I'm right there with you. Jim, thanks for being out there on the front lines, keeping food for us.
Thanks.
See you, kid.
Of course. I mean, listen, of course we'd love to be able to go to games and have that same normalcy, but we cannot. I will hit you with another sidebar, sir. May I approach, Your Honor?
You may approach, Counselor.
Okay. Do you remember on Twitter, I think I sent you this, we had a listener of ours that was talking about the IHSA. You know, every time Governor Pritzker has a press conference, he either avoids or sidesteps or says very little about, you know, whether or not high school football is going to happen in the fall. And I've seen this in Tinley Park and in the south suburbs where there's been parents protesting. One is e-learning. The other thing is that they're protesting that their kids can't play football this year. So there was this question about whether or not, if you're a coach, would you put your team in a position to play club sports? You know what I'm saying, right? They, like, away from the IHSA, playing on a club team. Would you have your team do that?
Let me ponder that while we take this time out, and I'll answer your question. And Meller's moment is next for fantasy football advice. 312-332-3776.
You won't remember.
Yes, I will. Take that.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
All right, we're going to roll through these calls before we crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko. But Hoodie, you asked me a question. And by the way, that promo code is WADDLE. WADDLE.
They heard me the first time.
No shot.
Yeah, no, they did hear me. They heard me. They said, I said,
We are going to get to Jeff Meller in a second. You asked me a question.
Yes.
I would not take my team as a club team out on the road. Look, COVID-19, it's a thing. It's not like, well, it's a thing over there, but it's not over there. It is. And we all have to be as diligent and careful as we can. So, no, I would not do that. See, you thought I'd forget. Jeff Meller joins us now for our Meller's moment as we try and roll through some fantasy stuff. All right, Jeff Meller, is Mitchell Trubisky in a game like this against a crappy defense a must start?
It depends on who your options are, Cap. I would consider it, obviously, if you're in deeper leagues. I still need a little bit more from Mitch before I feel okay starting him. But perhaps if you are a Drew Brees owner and you're a little skittish at this point because of the decline and the fact that he still doesn't have Michael Thomas this week, I could understand going with Trubisky, but I'm still concerned personally as a fantasy owner to go ahead and use Mitch. But look, this is an enticing matchup. And so if ever there was a week where you wanted to say, you know what, I love my Bears, I want to roll with Mitch, I can understand it. And he's always pretty good when things don't go haywire because he'll get you those running yards usually that are the cheat code for fantasy, you know, football players out there. So I could see making the argument to use Mitch if you're in a pinch. But like, I'm not using him over somebody like Deshaun Watson right now. Even though Watson has struggled, I still trust somebody like Deshaun Watson in fantasy more than Mitch right now.
Yeah, we do this every Thursday at 9:50. So before you set your lineups, call quickly to talk to Jeff Meller, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776.
Let's go to Jake in Arlington Heights. He's got a question. Jake, fire away. You're on with the guru.
Good morning, guys, and thanks for the Nick Chubb pick last week. That played out nice. Janu Smith from the Tennessee Titans tight end or Tyler Higbee from the Rams?
Yeah, so Jake, Janu Smith had a couple of touchdowns last week. One of them was on just a broken play where he wasn't covered at all. I don't think you can count on that week in and week out. Tyler Higbee seems to be somebody who the Rams, you know, he's a matchup problem as a tight end. He's got some speed. I like Tyler Higbee right now. You know, if Janu Smith doesn't, you know, have people not cover him, he's not going to be as productive on a week in, week out basis. So I like Tyler Higbee and his involvement in the Rams passing game.
There you go. There's your answer. Danny had one. Danny?
Meller time. I think this applies to a lot of our listeners. I myself was a Saquon Barkley guy, and I am in big trouble. Basically, my fantasy season's over. What can you tell me? Who should I pick up on the waiver wires to salvage the season? I'm sure people with Christian McCaffrey are kind of in similar boats.
No, yeah, it's a good point, Danny. And I'll just mention this too. Like Carmen and Yerk, we're doing a waiver wire segment on Tuesdays for anybody who's waiver wire. You know, if you run Tuesday night, check it out on Carmen and Yerk on Tuesday. But if you're in a pinch, you know, if your waivers have not run, or if you're just looking off the free agent scrap heap, you know, maybe check out if Jerick McKinnon is available in your league. He's going to get a lot of run for San Francisco this week since they don't have Raheem Mostert or Tevin Coleman. Jerick McKinnon is probably my number one play if he's available. Somebody like Mike Davis is not very exciting, but the volume is going to be there for him for the Panthers. So even though he may not be nearly as productive as McCaffrey, he should see a lot of touches. So if he's out there, go grab him. Maybe somebody who wasn't picked up in your waiver wires is Miles Gaskin. He seems to have kind of taken the lead role for the Dolphins. They play tonight against the Jaguars, so you better go scoop him up tonight before the game runs. But Miles Gaskin could be, you know, a last-minute play. Or if you're really desperate, this is something I want to mention, Gus Edwards for the Ravens. He's available in a lot of leagues right now. The Ravens are going with a straight rotation. They've got, everybody knows about Mark Ingram. Everybody knows about J.K. Dobbins. Gus Edwards actually led the team in snaps last week. So if, look, it's not a great option to start, but he's somebody who maybe if you want to swing for the fences is worth picking up and rostering on your bench, because if either Dobbins or Ingram goes down, Edwards should see an increased workload, and that's where he could be, you know, kind of a sneaky play.
I appreciate that, Daniel. Let's get who? JR? John, who do you got one? Because I got a couple callers too. Fire away.
Just real quick about the quarterbacks. Just real quick, Jeff, regarding Matt Stafford against Arizona. Now, down, maybe the Lions go 0-3, but it's still an interesting matchup with the Lions and Arizona. The other one I was questioning is Baker Mayfield against Washington in these weekly breakdowns.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is Washington's defense has been. Like last week, they weren't as good as the first week, but man, their pass rush is scary. So I don't like that matchup much for Mayfield at all this week if you can avoid it. Matthew Stafford, it looks like Kenny Galladay, who was limited in practice yesterday, is trending in the right direction. He's their best receiving option. So as long as Galladay plays, I have no problem using Stafford, especially as, like, you know, if you're a situation where you've got Stafford and the aforementioned Drew Brees, I would use Matthew Stafford this week, assuming Kenny Galladay is back in the lineup for the Lions.
Real quick, Derek in East Chicago. Hey, Derek.
Hey, how's it going? Just QB question. Minshew or Rodgers?
Yeah, look, Minshew's been pretty good. He's been spreading the ball around well, and he's very accurate. But I'm not going to go away from Aaron Rodgers right now. They have the Saints. The Saints are good, obviously, but they're, you know, in the Superdome. It's not the same without fans. So I'm perfectly fine using Aaron Rodgers this week, and I like what I've seen from Minshew right now. But like, I'm not starting him over studs at this point.
There you go. That answers that one. Let's get one more. Phil in Providence. Hey, Phil. He's listening on the app. What's up, bud?
Hey, guys. Flex, half-point PPR. Got Will Fuller, Cooper Kupp, or Deontay Johnson?
Ooh. I love what I've seen from Deontay Johnson. I actually think there's a possibility he outscores Juju Smith-Schuster when all is said and done this year. Ben has talked glowingly about Deontay Johnson. He scored a touchdown last week. In the half-point PPR, I might still use Cooper Kupp over him, but if you want, like, some real upside, I like Deontay Johnson. So if you feel like you're an underdog and you need a big week, Deontay Johnson might be my play. If you want the safety, Cooper Kupp's the guy.
All right, there you go. Meller, thanks, man.
My pleasure, boys.
You're the king. All right, we will crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko in 2 minutes.